Hi everyone, I'm Scott Brown, and before we dive into today's lessons I learned in law, I just wanted to tell you about our friends over at Beamery. Beamery is a real game changer in the world of talent management, so HR and talent teams should definitely take note. It is trusted with the likes of Accenture, McKinsey, AstraZeneca and Uber, to name a few. Now, this is a great piece of recruitment technology, which is an AI-powered talent platform that will enable you to hire candidates faster, develop the skills of your existing workforce, and increase employee retention. With Beamery, you'll have a complete understanding of your workforce's skills and capabilities, and it's all about building an agile and future-proof team. So check it out. Head over to their website at beamery.com.
Hi, welcome to Lessons I Learned in Law. I'm Scott Brown, Managing Director and Founder at Heriot Brown In-House Legal Recruitment. We specialise in placing lawyers in-house and fulfilling careers. And on this episode of Lessons I Learned in Law, we've taken a little bit of a sideways step and we're looking at inside the agency. So giving you guys the chance to get to know the people in the team at Heriot Brown and the consultants a little bit better, and to showcase what we do for clients and candidates. So I'm excited to chat today with Martin Evenson. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Very good.
Good. We're both stuck in WeWork and working from phone booths. So we're inside the little telephone booth. But Martin joined us this year. So Martin, if you could start by just giving a bit of an overview and background to yourself.
Yeah. So I joined, I think, 9 or 10 weeks ago now, something like that. So still relatively new. I've come in to look after construction, manufacturing, engineering, and all those sort of industries, doing quite a lot of stuff in the electric vehicle space at the moment. Pleased to have joined.
Excellent. And give us, I was just chatting before we came on to record about Martin's career before recruitment. So how did you get into recruitment, Martin? How did that all come around?
Yeah, so in my former life, I was a retail store manager. So I was a store manager at both Sainsbury's and at Lidl. I'd done sort of retail for the previous, I think, 14 years or something like that. Really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the job. It's a real people-driven job and similar to this, I suppose, in that sense. However, I'd done so many years without a free weekend that I thought, do you know what, I need to try and find myself a Monday to Friday sort of gig. CV onto Indeed or something like that, and I just randomly got a call one day from a recruiter who's a legal recruiter who wanted to build out their retail desk. Had a chat with them, and that was it. I ended up taking the plunge.
Nice, good. And did you find, having worked in, like, in terms of that chat, having worked in retail, what did that give you?
Yeah, so I think, well, I'd had a little bit of an idea previously, because as a retail store manager, and I was quite a young store manager in fairness, I'd get quite a lot of calls from recruiters trying to get me to go to other retailers. So I knew obviously that recruitment existed and all that sort of stuff, and I'd thought about, you know, could I do that sort of thing. I think there's a lot of things that cross over, to be honest. Like, as I said before, people skills. Like, you're not a good retail store manager if you can't work with all types of people. So, you know, we're talking about interacting with the cleaner, but also I'd have a CEO of Sainsbury's coming to my shop and I'd have to walk him round. So, you know, we're really high level people to people at all levels, basically. Then also resilience, I think, is a key part of both jobs. The KPIs reset every week in retail, every day almost, to be honest. Like, you know, you really have to keep an eye and take the highs with the lows. And, you know, all it takes in retail is the M25 gets blocked up. You don't get your delivery that day. And your KPIs for that week are really, really tough. And there's lots of different variables like that. It's quite similar in recruitment, you know, especially when we're talking about legal recruitment, where salaries are therefore high and therefore the fees associated with them, your results are not going to look as good. And it can happen with just one placement that can change the whole scope of it. So you've got to be able to take the highs of the lows. And I think definitely that the retail background helped me sort of, I was already used to that, you know?
Yeah. No, that's good. Loads of Yeah, loads of similarities in the variables in the working day. Was that where you focused then when you moved into legal recruitment onto retail?
Yeah, so it was retail, FMCG, consumer facing businesses, basically.
Right, got you. Nice. And what was it like your first call with a lawyer, or had you interacted much with? Did much exposure to the legal profession before?
I absolutely crapped myself, to be honest. I barely got a word out. It was really rushed. You know, I was just so nervous. And then that was my first day. And I think in my second day, I'd organised a call with an employment lawyer at Sainsbury's. And it turned out that she used to write the HR newsletter that I used to get as a store manager, and therefore like relay that stuff onto my teams. And that just all of a sudden just brought it back round for me. And I was like, oh my God, you're just a person. So, you know, so from that point on, I didn't care who I spoke to. It didn't matter to me anymore. It was just that I, for some reason, put them on a pedestal. Lawyers are just normal people, right? They're just like everybody else. So once I'd had that call and it just helped me relate it a little bit more, I'll talk to anybody now in legal. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, no, awesome. I love it. It's yeah, I suppose the dynamic changes, right? Because you said you've sort of been used to, when you're in retail, you're speaking to students working on the shop floor and up to, or to, I mean, I was a student worker at Sainsbury's. I would hate to have managed an earlier, a younger me, and then up to speaking to the CEO. But then I guess when it comes to recruitment, you're trying to get something from those conversations, so that it shifts a little bit, right? But yeah, and how was the training into recruitment? What sort of training did you get on your first foray into recruitment?
It was good training, to be fair. It was just spending a lot of time on the phone, sorry. Like, I think the biggest bit of training for me is you can get all of the sort of like paper-based training or whatever it is and get told all this stuff. To me, you learn so much more being sat on desk with your colleagues around you. I just always used to keep my ear out and listen to how the other consultants, especially the more senior ones, how did they interact? What did they do? You know, the types of people that they spoke to. Just tried to keep my ear out all the time, listen to every single bit of process that I could, you know, try and understand from that side of the phone. And although the training was good, I think I learned a lot more just sat on desk with, you know, with especially the senior consultants and yeah, I think that really helped. But yeah,
nice. And do you remember what was your first placement? What did that feel like?
I do. Yeah, it was good. It was really good. It was into a services business in oil and gas, which is completely random because I did say that I came in to do like retail and all the rest of that sort of stuff. But obviously, you get given a little bit of a helping hand when you first join. So, you know, I was working on a role with someone else and it was a fee split, basically. They handled the client and I did the resourcing. It's a great feeling. And it's the same now, to be fair. Like, even still now, I still get that same sort of feeling when you get a placement through it. So it's a good part of the job.
What's your most notable placement, or one that you remember, or difficult placement that you're most proud of?
I don't know if this is difficult, but like the placement that I'm probably the happiest with, it wasn't like a crazy big fee or anything, but the candidate was just so happy, like so happy. Like when she was interviewing at this business, she was like, I don't understand why they want to see me. I was like, well, you know, they've obviously seen something in your CV that they like, the experience that you've got, et cetera, et cetera. And she was like that the whole way through, just obviously quite short on confidence. And she got the job and she was so, so happy. Like, you know, I think I got a 30 grand pay rise or something like that too, which really helped because I think she was a, you know, a single mother and you know, I was going to make a world of difference to her family. But she was just so, so happy and like that is a real sort of feel good placement for me. Like it was, yeah, you know, like it really. And she's still there as well, so that's good. It's obviously worked out.
Awesome. Yeah, that is great. It's I find those where it's unexpected or there's that feeling of achieving something or helping someone get to somewhere where they didn't think was possible is great. Like moving people into a sector that they maybe don't think is open to them, or like out of a discipline, or from a specialism background into something broader. I think I always get a really good sense of achievement on that, and it's great to hear positive feedback, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And what's your approach with clients and candidates? How do you juggle the needs on both sides?
I suppose basically the thing that I try and do with that is to be as I've basically got to back each side, right? So I can never talk badly about either one to either one, if you know what I mean. Like I've obviously got to represent both of them in a good light as much as possible. So even if I think a candidate is being sort of, you know, something that might not be as good from the client side, I've got to do my best to not focus on that and try and focus on the positives with the candidates, rather than, you know, I can't slander the client, I suppose. So it's about making sure that I represent them in the best light. And really, I think with the candidates, and it works on the client side in this sense, is that I'll never try and sort of miss sell a job just to get a placement over the line, because ultimately that doesn't really work. The likelihood of that candidate then leaving after 6 weeks because they're not enjoying the job or they were missold something is much higher, and therefore the client's not happy in the long run anyway. So to me, it's not about like chasing fees and getting just anybody over the line. It's really about finding the right person for the right business, and I think that's key.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. If there's something amiss for a candidate or a client, or it's not a fair deal, then it's gonna fall apart at some point. Whether it's now, and there's I've sort of built the business on like a quick win's great if you can get it and it works out for everyone, but they're often too good to be true. So it's better to invest in those sort of longer term relationships as well. So you've been working with lawyers now for a good few years. In how many years is it?
It'd be coming up to 5, I think.
So what's the key of lessons I learned in law? Where our target question inside the agency is what lesson have you learned from working with lawyers in that time?
I think probably the main one is actually that I touched on this earlier, is that they're just normal people. You know, they might have some of them really high powered jobs and earn loads of money, but you know, and to me, the good lawyers that I speak to are the ones that are really personable, that are really, you know, down to earth, and they can understand like nuances in relationships and all that sort of stuff, and they've really got that people side down. Those are the ones that I speak to that tend to do really well in interview processes and ultimately get really good jobs, because you know, it doesn't matter what you do if you're not a nice person, or at least don't treat other people nicely and can be quite nonchalant towards other people, that tends to sort of wash out the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you sniff that out in people? So like on a call or in a meeting, how do you identify that skill set with candidates or clients?
Just by talking, to be honest. Like I'm, you know, a relatively outgoing person, and I try and sort of bring stuff out of people when I'm talking to them. So generally speaking, if I ever taught someone for the first time, the first thing I'll do, no matter who it is hi, how you doing? How is your week? And just see what I get off the back of that. Like, are they, you know, or if it's a Monday, how was your weekend? Whatever it is, just a really simple sort of icebreaker almost. And that helps to sort of set a little bit of an easy topic to discuss before we get into sort of proper, you know, job-related stuff. some people you have to coax more out of, and some people are just really free flowing. It's obviously quite different person to person, but yeah, I try and make it as personable as possible.
Wrapping up, but what's the one thing? What's the one thing that people don't know about Martin?
I don't know if this is a bit soft, but I'm a twin. Does that count? I don't know.
Two twins in the team. You and Lucy.
Yeah, that's it.
Good. How's that? What's it like being a twin?
Well, it's a bit weird, to be fair, because both me and my brother left home at 18. So I kind of haven't been a twin for the last 18 years, to be honest. But obviously, like, growing up, it was quite I was known as the twins, right, to everybody that lived around us and all that sort of stuff. Whereas here in London, I'm not really known as a twin because, like, people know just not me for me. So it's. But then when people do meet my brother when he comes to London, for example, you know, it just settles straight back into that sort of thing. Like, oh my God, are you two brothers? Like, yeah, we're identical twins. So yeah.
it's quite a big thing growing up. Good and bad, I'd imagine. Like when you get to a bit older and thinking with independence and stuff.
Absolutely. And it could work with positive and negative ways with teachers and stuff, you know. Pretend to be the other or whatever. That's good fun.
Is there ever a time where you got him in trouble where it was actually you?
I did, yeah. My old head of year, Mr. Jenkins, my brother was walking past his office, and he grabbed my brother by the shirt collar and dragged him into the office and proceeded to give him a bit of a a bit of a rollicking. And then I walked past 2 minutes later whistling, and he noticed that he got the wrong one and then dragged me in and kicked my brother out. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, well, yeah, that's a positive. Well, thanks for sharing those with me, Martin. It's been good to chat about it.
No worries.
And thank you for listening to Lessons I Learned in Law Inside the Agency. Over the next few weeks, we'll be opening the doors and giving you the chance to get to know the consultants across the team. So to hear more about Heriot Brown in-house legal recruitment, or to hear lessons I learned in law from some of the clients that we work with and people within our network, subscribe to the podcast on the link below. Thanks for listening.